Well, let's take a look at some of the ways you can deploy a cluster, and then we'll just walk through the portal very quickly. You won't have to do this in any of your labs, but I'll just kind of show you where it's at. There are various kinds of clusters that you can deploy. There's Hadoop, just the regular Hadoop cluster, and we have both Windows and Linux. There's Spark clusters, and you'll need to go read more about what Spark can do for you. There's also HBase and Storm clusters that you can use. We can do it from the portal. Once again, you could do things graphically, but you really want to use PowerShell or even Visual Studio in this case can deploy these quite easily for you. Once you've deployed a cluster, the UI, the user interface, is provided through an open source project called Ambari, and we're not going to focus on that because the particular type of cluster we'll deploy in our example will be on demand, which means it comes up, it does something, and then it goes away, so we won't need to manage it directly. If, however, you're going to process a load of work all the time, the Ambari cluster or interface is there to help you manage the cluster, and it's really quite good. It's all web-based. You can actually interact with any of the individual nodes through RDP in Windows or through Secure Shell in Linux. Let's jump over to the portal, and I'm just going to show you this very quickly here. We don't need to spend a long time on it, but you can see more. So we'll just type HD Insight, and you can see it kind of comes up instantly. So we have HD Insight. We do that. It finds out all the things that say HD Insight on them. I'm going to grab this one. Once again, super important that you read the documentation, the services overview, the solutions that you can deliver, and the pricing details. So we'll click Create, and what we can do here is we can. There we go. Okay, we give it a cluster name, BYD Test 70 or 760, whatever. That seems to work. It's seeing if that's available. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be unless I've typed it before. Here we go. Our cluster configuration. This is what I wanted to show you. Whenever there's more to do, you'll get this sort of error warning, and then you have to go pick the various things here. And you can see all the different types that you have. We could pick just a standard Hadoop cluster. We can pick the operating system we want, even the version, depending on how far forward or back you'd like to go. We can get a standard or premium, and again, these all come with various price points and features that you can use within them. So we'll select that, and then it says what kind of applications do you want on this, and there's all kinds of things we can do here. And then the credentials. Now, this is the credentials for the cluster. Here we set up the SSH username that we would log in with because we selected a Linux cluster. Then we need to tell it how it's going to get to data. So it needs data in a couple of ways. One is it's going to have its own logs and so on that it uses to run itself. And then secondarily, it's going to need a place to ingest the data and push the data back out. So both of those will sort of show up. Then we pick the sizing and the pricing. Once again, we pick the resource group we want. I'm going to say no. And of course, it's going to be a little sorry or passive aggressive. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be okay. Nope, it's not mad at me, so that's a good thing. All right, so that's the portal way of doing it. Something I did want to show you, I'll just grab my virtual machine to give you an example. Once we've created the cluster, or any asset mostly inside Azure, you can move down here to the words automation script inside the portal. And you can also do this with PowerShell and so on. And you can see the little dots going across there. They're just moving across. As they go across, what this is doing is it is writing the ARM template. That's the Azure Resource Manager or Azure Resource Model, depending on what you're reading. And it's reading all the parameters, and it will create the JSON. And it had a problem. There we go. It creates the JSON that I can now save off. And inside of here, it even gives me the PowerShell that will run against that template. So I save off the template, which is the JSON. I could change the default value of the name and so on. Then once I'm done, I can hit PowerShell to deploy it, .NET to deploy it, the command line interface to deploy it, or Ruby, and then the parameters that I send to this particular thing. So that's kind of nice. You can also add it to a library and so on. So this lets you, once you've stood up something, perhaps for a client, you've got a solution for customer churn, you can template all of that, click a button, and the next time it's change a few parameters, and you've got your automation and your standardization back that we love so much. Okay. That's it for this unit. Let's go take a look at your work that you have, your study resources for this week, any tests and forums. Make sure you're posting to those forums and so on, and we'll move on to the next unit.